everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and it's real pleasure to have a longtime friend, Dr. Shane Spites. He is the Dean of the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. Shane, thanks for coming on. 10th anniversary, a lot to talk about.
There is, and I appreciate you having me. We may have to come back and do a separate segment on duck hunting on the Washita River.
There we go. You know, we just, so our listeners will know, we always talk about there's only 2 degrees of separation in Arkansas, which makes us such a wonderful small state. You know everybody. But I have literally known Shane since he was born. I'm a little older, and our dads were business partners in Arkadelphia, and Shane's dad ended up buying the business that my dad had started with his brother in 1951. So we had a lot of the same background, a lot of the same experiences growing up. Somehow you and me escaped the sporting goods business. So
my brothers can't say the same.
Right,
They got sucked into it. But, yeah, you and I somehow were able to move out of that area.
Yeah. Well, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the medical school and this 10th anniversary that you're celebrating. And it hit me, you know, you hear the old saying, the older you get, the faster time moves, and it's really true. I thought, that's been 10 years already? I remember like yesterday, I was up there working on a column about the school about to start. They were still doing the work on Wilson Hall, remodeling it. And I thought, it was 2 or 3 years ago. Well, it was 10 years ago, and I've got to tell you, that had to be interesting to be part of a startup. First time in 130 years a medical school opened at Arkansas. That, of course, now UAMS, for all of my lifetime until then, the only medical school in the state. Talk about those early days a little bit and what a challenge that must have been.
Man, it was amazing. That is a level of education you can't get out of books, to be able to do something like that. Very privileged. I was very honored and blessed to be able to be a part of it and still be a part of it today in terms of the mission of the school, which is to train physicians in the needed areas of the state with a goal to get them back there, which you and I both know growing up in Arkadelphia and in Clark County in that region, what it's like not to have good medical facilities. Or, I mean, we were blessed to have those, but have enough physicians for everybody. You know,
exactly.
You get down into Sparkman, get out into Amity, those areas there, it drops off pretty quickly in terms of being able to get good health care. And the state still needs that, even more so today than it was when we were younger.
Yeah, it really does. And that is one of the things I appreciate with you being a native Arkansan, really understanding and having a passion for those needs of rural Arkansas. As you know, I spent 4 years with the Delta Regional Authority. And if you had to ask me, there are a lot of issues with the Delta, but what was the biggest? It was the lack of primary care physicians and the lack of health care as a whole. You know, you tend to run up such student debt. I mean, I can't hold it against these young physicians. When they're looking at several $100,000, perhaps, of student debt, Shane, they're going to generally go ahead and specialize, and then they're going to go to an urban area and try to pay that off as soon as others. And it's really hard, and I appreciate you tackling it, because we dealt with it at DRA, to find primary care physicians that will practice in somewhere like Marvel, Arkansas, for instance.
So to your point of that, Rex, and that was a big deal for us, is being intentional from the onset. So we recruit students with that drive and that desire. And so when we look at, you know, we've graduated 730-plus physicians.
Wow.
That have gone on to residency training. When we look at where our students go and what kind of training they get, we average between 25 to 27% of our graduating class goes into family medicine. Now, why that's an important number is because the national average is about 8 to 10% of medical school graduates go into family medicine.
Gotcha.
And we're hitting 25 to 27% because we're going after those students who have that heart and are being drawn to the practice of medicine and the lifestyle of medicine more as a calling and not a career. And we recognize the needs in terms of being able to pay off medical school debt, and that's part of it. And we have those conversations with our students. But make no mistake, as a family physician, it's not insurmountable. And these family physicians, I mean, our graduates are paying off their debt. Now what we've got is a lot of communities, a lot of hospital systems, a lot of healthcare organizations offering to pay their debt if they'll come to some of these areas and practice, because the need is so great.
Yeah. Yeah, and even though you are located in Northeast Arkansas, and I know you talk a lot about Delta issues, but having mentioned that because of my DRA tie, I want to tell you, and you know this and have addressed it, it's not just the Delta. It's South Arkansas, where our roots are. It's the mountains of the Washtenaws. Mm-hmm. It's the Ozarks in rural counties. That need is statewide.
No, 100%. Right? No, 100%. So we talk about, obviously, because we're physically located in the Delta region, but we talk about a mission being driven toward rural, underserved, and needed communities across the state and across the region. You know, the disparities don't stop the Mississippi River, so we kind of bounce back and forth, even into Mississippi, down to Louisiana, in terms of meeting those needs, recognizing that the people of Arkansas are also in those areas.
Now, your school is associated, again, as I said in the introduction, with the New York Institute of Technology, yet you're on the Arkansas State University campus, so explain for those listening who don't really get how all the relationships work, how you were associated with ASU.
You know, it's funny. I introduce myself and I say, yeah, I work for the New York Institute of Technology. And I'll have somebody say, well, how do you like Arkansas?
And I say, well, lived here all my life.
I like it a lot. I've lived here all my life. So what happened was Arkansas State University, they actually saw the need. They recognized the physician workforce shortage in the state of Arkansas was real, and it was having significant effects not just on healthcare, but on the economics of the state in terms of workforce development. I mean, all of these things are connected. You can't just separate one without tying to the others. And so they wanted to partner with an osteopathic medical school to be able to help meet that demand. Osteopathic medicine in of itself, typically those graduates are more frontline physicians. More of them go into family medicine, general internal medicine, pediatrics, general surgery, ER, OBGYN, which were the big needs for the state of Arkansas. So that's who they wanted to partner with. They found a partner, and at that time, the vice president, Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, she came down and she met with A-State, thought this is a great partnership between a very urban area of the country and a very rural area of the country that could combine and really have some synergies. And so that's really how it all started. And I was, again, blessed to be able to work with her. She hired me as one of the first employees. And so I was working with her as we were getting the program up off the ground. She's a talented individual just of her own accord. She's the first African-American female of a U.S. medical school dean. And oddly enough, and I'll say Barbara Ross Lee, it's Ross hyphen Lee. She's the oldest sister to Diana Ross.
Oh, really? Okay. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Well, fascinating. So I mentioned you're the first new medical school in 130 years, but then we see soon after you open another school created over in Fort Smith, which I've written about, and then Alice Walton creates awesome, the Alice Walton School of Medicine. You got to admit, that's a great acronym.
It awesome. Is.
It's like, I work at Awesome. Yeah. But she creates that up in Bentonville. So suddenly we go over a decade from one to four. Talk about what makes your school different, and maybe how the four schools really complement each other in a state where the need is so great.
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously, you know, we get questions on, hey, did we really need, you know, another medical school? Do we really need 3 medical schools? Do we really need 4? And my answer is the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the system works, and this is true, this is no surprise, even at UAMS, our public institution, you only have about half of them or a little more that stay here for residency
training.
That's
right.
So, and that's true for most medical schools. You're going to have a lot of the students decide to leave the state to go do their residency training or their specialty training. So we need as many medical schools as we can to be able to retain as many as we can in the state to be able to do the residencies here and ultimately practice. The reason why that's important is because if they just do residency here, only about half of them are going to stay here or just do medical school. If they do medical school and residency in the state of Arkansas, 80% of them will stay on average. Our numbers, we hit close to, if we get a student, we get a kid from Arkadelphia, they come to A-State, they come to the NYT Medical School, they do a residency here in the state, 95% of them will stay in the state and practice.
Wow.
So we're excited about that number. We want to continue to push that number and hopefully even get it higher than that. But we're very, very focused on getting students from the state to stay here and practice.
Gotcha. I just had on this podcast several weeks ago Dr. Lowry Barnes, mm-hmm. the new chancellor of UAMS. I was so glad, again, being a native Arkansan like you, that they put a native Arkansan in that job. Another small state story, Lowry and I graduated from high school exactly the same year. We met when he was a senior at Pine Bluff High School, and I was a senior at Arkadelphia High School. So we've literally known each other since our senior years in high school. But I asked him the fact that we have 4 medical schools here, and I said, and I was really glad to hear this from the statewide institution, I said, do you see this as competitive or complementary? And he said, oh, the needs are so great. Definitely complimentary. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, 100%. And we are excited about Lowry being there, too. I want to make sure. I've met with him several times. We talked about the ways that we can partner, things we can do institutionally to make things better for the state. And I'm going to go to, and you've already said this already, when you get people born, raised, that have lived here, understand the communities like Pine Bluff, like Arkadelphia, just the decisions that are made at that level are going to be more strategic and benefit the state as a whole and the people in the state because it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think
about,
my family still lives in Arkadelphia.
Yep.
A lot of my senior staff, their families live in these rural areas down in Warren and New Edinburgh and those areas there. So this is real for us. This is not just a job or just something to, you know, we're trying to change the outcomes of communities of need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is, again, one of the great crying needs in our state. I want to ask you a question again because I never take for granted, you know, that our listeners know this, and I know you've been explaining it for the past decades, but what sets osteopaths apart?
So osteopathic med, just real quickly, so you've got MDs and you've got DOs. Both are physicians.
Both are full physicians.
That's right.
Yeah, I always explain that to people.
They both do 4 years of medical school. Both of them go to residency. They go to the same residency programs. Both of them can become, you know, vascular surgeons or neurologists or family doctors or what have you. Osteopathic medicine, there's an additional, we'll say, tools that they do around structure and function of the human body. A lot of it, we use the word holistic, but in terms of basically trying to prevent disease, that's kind of the, you know, one of the sayings from one of our founders is that anybody can identify disease. It's the job of the physician to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being able to recognize how the body works and how you can remove restrictions, how you can heal the patient before they even get sick. And that sounds strange, but a lot of the conversations I have, even in my own clinic, you're going to hear about how I'm going to ask you, regardless of what you come in for, hey, what'd you eat for breakfast? Tell me what your normal exercise routine is like.
How many
hours of sleep do you get at night? What are we doing in terms of mental wellness, managing anxiety and depressive symptoms? Because we now know that all of those pieces, those kind of 4 pillars, are so important to chronic disease that many times if we can address chronic disease, probably 50, anywhere from 50 to 80% of the time, depending on the study that you read, we can address chronic disease issues in those conversations.
Wow.
But, I mean, DOs do surgery, write prescriptions. I mean, obviously, I, you know, take care of patients, you know, heart attacks, strokes, ear infections, you name it. So it's the same kind of deal there. So when we have, you know, I think it's nice that we've got two DO schools in the state and we've got two MD schools. I think it's an amazing opportunity for the citizens of the state and for certainly those graduating from high schools and colleges in the state that want to go on and do a career in medicine.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's, and I make this point all the time, again, we're a rural state. The needs are so great in healthcare that, no, four is not too many. I'm getting the same thing now, Shane, interestingly enough, about to go from zero to two veterinary schools,
yes, yeah.
With one on
yeah.
the campus there
That's
where
right.
you
we
are
open, in August.
At
so
Arkansas
right.
State, and one being built in Cabot by – And again, I say agriculture is the largest sector of the Arkansas economy still. That's not too many.
Another piece, too, about when you talk about the educational model, and the vet school at A-State is actually adopting this as the model. We train our physicians, so half of their training occurs in communities across the state.
Wow.
So they do their first 2 years of medical school. Medical school is 4 years long. The first 2 years are on the campus of Arkansas State University in Wilson Hall. But the next 2 years, the clinical years where they're working with doctors, working in a hospital, a clinic, you know, those areas, we actually put them out across the state. And so they may be in Mena, they may be in Texarkana, Camden, El Dorado, some of them will stay in Jonesboro, some of them will be in northwest Arkansas, some of them will be here in central Arkansas. The A-State Vet School is going to be following that same kind of pattern because, again, the data shows that if we can expose students to the areas where we really want them to practice, they're more likely to go there.
Yeah, and I know ASU promotes this, but it should be. I mean, here's one campus, and with walking distance of each other, you're now going to have a medical mm-hmm. school, you're going to have a veterinary school, and the Biosciences Research yes. Institute. That's a pretty interesting combination.
Oh, absolutely. Our two institution doing a lot of research there. We were very that was actually one of the draws for us, or for NYT, was in terms of you already had the research facility set up. Obviously, medical schools have to be doing research. Their faculty have to be involved in research. They have to be applying for research. The same thing's true for the veterinary school. So to have that Arkansas Biosciences Institute there on campus, that was just a made blessing right there.
I will tell our listeners, and I'll tell you just while we're on the subject, that old saying about being in the room when it happened. I was in the room when it happened, Shane. I was working in the governor's office. You'll remember as policy and communications director back in 2000 when we came up with the plan of how to divide all the tobacco settlement.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the most powerful senator at the time was Senator, future Governor Mike Beebe. Of course, ASU grad, huge
oh, yeah.
ASU supporter. And the original plan comes down, and it was that bioscience research would be divided between UAMS and the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. And so we're in this meeting walking through this with the Senate and House leadership, and I remember like yesterday, BB speaks up, says, well, Governor, I've got to tell you one thing. It ain't coming out of the Senate unless – there's one of those biomedical research institutes on the Jonesboro campus also. And just like this, Governor Huckabee, because he knew the power that Senator BB had, said, consider it done. That's how quickly that happened.
Yeah, just that, so you know what? Good things can happen with quick decisions like that. And No, we're grateful for it. Cause that's
absolutely. It really has been a blessing to that area of the state. Now, you talk about capturing people. I know – You've got agreements where people can come in as undergrads there in Jonesboro now that Henderson State University in your hometown of Arkadelphia is part of the ASU system. I think you've worked with them to get people on that path starting their freshman year as undergrads, right?
So this has been fascinating, Rex, and I don't mind. I talk more detail
about
this.
Oh, no, let's do, because I think it's a great idea.
So – We've been here for 10 years, and obviously, you know, so I've got 10 years worth of admissions data.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get a percentage, obviously. I get as many as we can from Arkansas, and people may not realize this. It varies from year to year, but we get anywhere from 25 to 35% of our students from Arkansas. So I get students from all across the country, and being able to look at those students, where they're coming from, and compare them, to be honest with you, with Arkansas applicants. One of the things that became clear to me as we looked at our data, looked at grade points, looked at these MCATs, which is the medical college admissions test. Everybody has to take that to get into medical school. The MCAT seemed like it was becoming more of a barrier than an indicator.
Gotcha.
Because we would see students that would come in with not really a competitive MCAT, and they would do great in medical school. And so, and typically that's kind of a mix match. And so national data says that the MCAT will tell you how well they'll do in the first semester, or typically the first year. It doesn't tell you anything about what kind of physician they're going to be, mm-hmm. and it doesn't give you any indication of how they're going to do beyond really that first year or so. And so we were trying to drill down and say, okay, what is it we really need to be looking for? We understand the recipe for success in medical school. So we figured out that if we could partner with an institution, a higher ed institution, and say, hey, look, if you guys will prescribe this curriculum, they take these courses, and we'll give you feedback on those courses. We'll say, hey, look, your students are really well prepared in this area, not so much in this area, and we can work so that we're getting a great product, a great student out of your institution. We won't require an MCAT, which is a barrier for a lot of students getting into medical school. And so we've agreed, and we've got that relationship with Henderson State. We've got that relationship with Arkansas State. We've just signed, actually, the ink is still wet on an agreement with UALR.
Right.
And we've got a cohort of other schools that are talking to us, wanting to partner on that.
Because
this is the MCAT, you don't want it to be a barrier.
Exactly.
We want to get competitive students that can do well in medical school. We don't want to get students who aren't going to be successful. But we have found in our own data, the MCAT wasn't that big of a predictor for us when we looked across the entire cohort. And so that's really, that was the driving force behind this pathway program.
Wow. I think that is exciting for Arkansas. Alice Walton's Whole Health Institute up in Bentonville recently released a report about the state of medical education in Arkansas, and it really focused on the need for more residency programs. Talk about your thoughts about that report, and let's talk a little bit about residency training and why those programs are so important.
So just as a reminder to the listeners, you know, you can do 4 years of medical school, graduate as a doctor, and you can't practice a day.
That's right.
Until you do a residency training, which typically is a minimum of 3 years, but can be anywhere up to 10 years or longer, depending on fellowships or specialty training. And so the residency piece, you have to solve that as well. The medical school, like, we knew that was an important piece, but when we first started, we knew we needed to grow residency training in the state of Arkansas. We actually helped and worked with Heartland Institute on that on that proposal, on that document that came out. And we supported, and we think they're doing great work. And I'm very happy with what Alice Walton and her team are doing to drive this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because, let's just be honest. She wields the ability to say, we're going to talk about this.
And we're going to talk about, yes, ma'am.
That's exactly right. We're going to talk about solutions.
Yeah, you're not going to ignore the richest woman in the world.
Exactly ever. Right. So I'm very thankful for that, because we're now having these robust conversations about how we make this work in the state of Arkansas. We recognized early on when we started our medical school, this was something we had to tackle. Mm-hmm. As we looked back and we said, you know what? Between 1992 and 2014, there hadn't been a single new residency in the state that started.
Wow.
And so that was actually back to the founding dean, Dr. Ross Lee. She said, we've got to start educating hospital administrators and healthcare systems on how to start residency programs, because they can do it. And so we got actually a grant through the Blue and You Foundation to create what we call GME, or Graduate Medical Education Readiness Programs, is what we did. And so we went around the state and hosted events to bring in hospitals to start that conversation. And because of that, there have been 28 new residencies started in the state since that time frame. Now, we don't take credit for all that, but we do take credit for starting the conversation, which, again, I applaud Alice Walton and her team for doing. I think that report was pretty spot on. I think we have a need for both, and I think that's the balance that I saw in the report. We do need specialists. We need specialists. We need more specialists for the state of Arkansas. But we also need these frontline physicians in these smaller communities to be able to support those patients there, that so they don't have to drive 30, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half or two. When I was practicing and delivering babies, it was not uncommon to have a poor lady from Ash Flat driving down to see me in Jonesboro for her prenatal care.
Wow.
And when she got close to delivery, we had to find a place in the hospital for her to hang out for a week or two because she was at higher risk. So we need to be able to address those issues in these smaller communities. And actually, we are moving forward with a great program that we're going to be launching. We've got accreditation review soon, but we're going to hopefully get this launched next July in Blytheville in Mississippi County. We're working very closely with them to start a program that we think is going to absolutely make a significant impact on the healthcare in that region.
Wow. That is, again, exciting and so needed. I almost hesitate to ask this because the needs in healthcare are so great in a rural, still relatively poor state like Arkansas. What's the most pressing issue, though?
So let's talk about that, because, again, I'll say this. After certainly where I have sat in my position as the dean of the school for the last 10 years, it's been eye-opening for me how impactful education is. And I'm talking about higher education, and I'm talking about K-12, in terms of what our opportunities are there to be able to change lifestyle decisions that are made. And I think the more educated the population can be, and the more educated individuals we can put in these communities to help raise them up from a leadership standpoint, from a health education standpoint, you're going to see economic growth. You're going to see healthcare improvements. I think you're going to see industrial growth. I think it's just going to be a win-win-win. We talk, you know, we teach our students, and that's something specific that we do at our school too. We require all of them to get a certificate in population health. Mm. And so we talk about the social determinants of health on how, you know, if I write you a prescription for your, you know, for your medication, but you can't afford it and you can't get it filled and you don't understand the impact of why it's important to take that medicine, I've wasted my time and yours. And so we've got to get into the real crux of healthcare in terms of what the needs are in these communities. I think education is pivotal to that. And I think our four-year, our two-year institutions can play a significant role. I think we've got to be talking to K-12, just as we talked about this pathway program.
Yeah.
I think four-year institutions need to be reaching down to K-12 saying, hey, you know what? You're sending us great students in these areas. In these areas, we have challenges. Let us partner with you and help you from a curricular stance so that we're producing competitive students across the state from every high school, every two-year institution, and every four-year institution.
Yeah. We know because of increased cost and our low reimbursement rates that rural hospitals all over the country, but certainly here in Arkansas, are in trouble. You know, there have been talk about as many as half of our rural hospitals could close in the next 10 to 20 years. And that, I think, would be just devastating for rural Arkansas.
Well, the challenges that rural hospitals are facing now and physicians in those areas are facing, and when you look around and it's like, you know, look at how much more the state of Mississippi, those hospitals and physicians get paid. Look at how much more they in Oklahoma and in Louisiana.
Oh, the reimbursement disparities are huge.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we've got to address that. We've got to address that because we can only do so much on the education side. We can only do so much on the physician workforce production side. So I think there have to be real focused conversations around policy. And common sense. I think common sense solutions that we need to come up with to be able to address this. We've got some exciting programs. One of the things that we're very excited about is the program, the application that the governor and her office put forward for the Rural Health Transformation Program. Mm-hmm. We've got some exciting programs that we're going to be applying for through that, and I think you're going to see that across the state. So I think that's going to be a good shot in the arm, I think, for healthcare and education across the state.
Well, one thing I appreciate about you, Shane, is I know you consider public policy as part of your job. I know you meet regularly with legislators, other elected officials to try to educate them on issues.
Absolutely.
Like this.
No, and it's important. And here's the deal. Again, I'm going to go back to actually how we started this conversation. Pretty much all of us have been born and raised here,
mm-hmm.
and we recognize how important. So this, for all of us, I would say, and I see this every time I read an article or column that you put out, this is personal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is personal for us. You know, our families live here. We grew up here. We love this state. We love the people in the state. We want to see it be successful. We want to make things better, and I think everybody starts at that place so we can get around the table and we can work through the nuances of everything else.
Yeah, I knew we'd run out of time quickly. I'm going to have to get you back.
I
got a bunch of questions I'm not going to have time to get to, but I'll get you back down soon. But I do want to close back where we started, and it's your 10th anniversary. It's been an amazing 10 years. Tell me a little bit about your vision for the school over the next 10 years, what you would like to see happen.
You know, these first 10 years, and people will recognize this, you know, you get a new medical school off the ground, you want to make sure you're producing a quality graduate, a competitive graduate that can go to, you know, any program they want to, and that we're putting really good doctors out there. In our next 10 years, you're going to hear more about us being more externally facing in terms of what we're doing to partner with communities around the state and around the region to improve healthcare. Let me be very clear. We are not the solution. We want to be a part of the solution because we believe in partnerships with communities and with other stakeholders to make things better and to see those communities individually grow. Every community is different in what their needs are. We found that out with all of the hospitals that we partner with across the state. So for us, you're going to see more expansion of our footprint in terms of where we are and what we're doing to really support the growth and the healthcare of the state.
That is a great vision, and it's going to be an interesting next 10 years. I tell people, I was just speaking to a group this morning, Shane, that I hope my health holds out because I want to be able to write for at least another decade because there are too many interesting things going on in Arkansas right now.
A lot of exciting things.
And what you're doing there is right up there near the top of the list. Thanks for coming down and doing this today.
Thank you. No, I appreciate the invitation.
Our guest has been Dr. Shane Spites. He is the dean of the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine. It's on the campus of Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. I'm Rex Nelson. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.